Before we get into today's episode, I want to let you all know about another Stephen King podcast. This one is hosted by Richard Shepard, and it is called The Constant Reader Podcast, The Canon of Stephen King. In it, he interviews writers, academics, superfans, and anyone else who has a passion for Stephen King, much like I myself do. And this is another great podcast to check out if you just can't get enough Stephen King content. He's covering the books, the short stories, stuff on the small screen, stuff on the big screen, and be sure to check out his show. There will be a link in the show notes. And now let's get into our episode. Hey everyone, Chat Cemetery is back. I'm your host, Deanna Chapman, and I am joined today by Drew Koenig so we could talk all about The Colorado Kid. It is a short book, which we love.
It was very breezy.
Which was a treat after finishing three Dark Tower books back to back to back for me.
I can only imagine. Literally, I can only imagine.
It's a very different kind of book, too, because this is one of the hard case crime books, which is a series of crime novels written by all sorts of different people. It seems to be mostly male authors, though.
Yeah, just reading this, that would seem to track.
Yeah, and he has another hard case crime book in Joyland, which I will be getting to at some point in the near future. And he recently announced another one that is coming out in 2021 called Later. And so it's obviously a genre that he's open to writing in. And I think just how different that was compared to The Dark Tower and even things like It or something like that was a little bit of a break from all of these horror fantasy type of novels, which was a very interesting thing to read, like I said, right after Dark Tower.
Yeah, and it's also kind of like a prelude to like more of the writing that he would later do.
Yeah.
With like Mr. Mercedes or whatever.
That
like,
whole trilogy,
this is yeah. Clearly like a primer for him, you know?
Yeah, so let's dive into the story because with this being much shorter, he did manage to pack quite a bit into it because we're basically getting a look into the lives of the news staff at the Weekly Islander. And we do wind up having a connection to Secret Window, Secret Garden because there's an unsolved church picnic poisoning and it happens at Tashmore Lake, which is where Mort Rainey killed his wife in that short story novella, whichever it is classified as.
Right.
What did you think of the idea of just sort of following around this news staff and looking at crime through that kind of lens?
Well, I think stylistically it's an interesting choice because like we've read a few short Stephen King stories at this point, and it's not something that he typically does. Like, it kind of reminds me of, and I forget the name of it, but the one with the newspaper guy who's telling everyone a story at the dinner party from one of the
I know which one you're talking about. Don't ask me what the name of it is.
But it kind of reminds me of that, of like one or two guys just sitting around telling a story about this really weird thing that happened, you know? So it kind of has that approach to it, but it's not something that Stephen King does a lot just because there's a kind of time limit on like how long you, the reader, will like tolerate that kind of story, you know? Because it's yeah. a very specific thing. And like I said, there's only so long that something like that can go on for. You know, when Stephen King does like his 500 page books, like that is not something that he can do very easily. But here, when it's you know, I don't know how many pages this was, because I listened to this as an audiobook and it was 3 hours and change, but like that's a very bite-sized thing.
It was like 170-180 pages, something like that.
Okay, yeah, that's about what I thought it would end up being. It's an interesting choice, and B, it's almost like a fascinating like writing exercise.
Yeah, because he basically takes these two old timers in the journalism news world, and they are teaching Stephanie McCann, who is the intern, about, you know, kind of how they used to do things and what it takes to be a good news editor and reporter, and you have the fact that the editor's name is Dave Bowie, I would imagine there's no way that's not a nod to David Bowie and the founder, Vince Teague. So these two guys have been in it for so long that it really feels like they just want to, at this point, be able to share their experiences. And, you know, they never really talked down to Stephanie in a way that you would expect. Instead, they're kind of like, you got this, you can sort of piece this together. And they're more encouraging than anything else, it seems.
Yeah. And I think it's a good dynamic throughout this, because there's a very easy thing to see here of like how this could turn into something that is a lot more gross, I guess. Because like this yeah. is like two very old or older white guys spending a lot of time with like a very young woman, you know? And so like it's easy to see how this could easily turn into something that is a lot more sinister. Throughout it, it's a very nice like mentor-mentee relationship. Of just like, here's this thing. I want you to get this, you know, like I want you to understand what I'm trying to teach you right now. And I want to give you like pieces that you can use later.
Yeah. And where you get the sort of Stephen King kind of twist is when she asks about unexplained mysteries. And I think that's what makes this a fun read, too, because then you have these guys telling her about teenagers stumbling across a body in 1980 and the guy becomes known as the Colorado Kid, and they eventually track down his name and find out where in Colorado he's from. And it makes absolutely no sense why he went from Colorado to Maine and ended up mm-hmm. dead. And, you know, it's something that isn't a laughing matter, but the way that it all plays out is a little comical just because of how, like you said, you have these two older men and this younger woman, and things could have gone wrong, but instead, they just want to see if she can piece together this unexplained mystery.
It's almost like they're giving her this jigsaw puzzle. How like you would give a jigsaw puzzle to like a 5-year-old and be like, let me see if you can figure this out. It's kind of complicated, but I'm gonna see if you can figure this out right now. And just see where you are as like an individual.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of a fun way to give us a mystery too, because we aren't really reading about the mystery unfolding in real time. Instead, it's been sitting for 25 years because this book came out in 2005 and it does take place in 2005 based on that timeline of it being sort of this cold case for 25 years. And I felt like that was a good mystery to pick as well, because I'm sure there are plenty of weird things that these two men have seen in their time as news reporters and editors. And the way that this one unfolds, you're trying to figure out as they go too, because even though they know the whole story, the way it plays out and the way they're feeding the information to Stephanie is the same way you get all of the same information. There's no extra narrative that tells you everything before or during the men telling the story.
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the things I thought was interesting about this was like, this is kind of like Stephen King's ode for like a person who has written about like the spooky and the terrifying for like decades. This is like his ode to just like the weird thing that you're never going to solve. Those little weird things in your life that you go, that's weird. I don't know what that was. And just kind of letting that be and just letting the weirdness of that thing exist without necessarily the need to solve it, mixed with like a very pulpy sensibility. Like it's this kind of love letter to both of those things of like the weird and the kind of noir investigative types of stories.
Right. What do you think of the idea that these two men are the last two who knew the entire story before they told Stephanie?
That makes it like a really interesting thing of like a legacy, especially when this is set in 2005 with the setting of in a newspaper. this is still true today, and it was true in 2005 of the declining state of like the print newspaper and the newspaper of like how we knew it at the turn of the century and around that time, and how it was dying out and how it was changing really dramatically. And to have these two older men still be on the cusp of that and be sort of the last of that kind of generation and of that kind of writing and reporting style and the way that they knew it. And it's a world that's gone, and it pairs nicely with the mystery they're trying to tell her of like, they're both these things that they are trying to pass on to her. And so like them being like the last vanguards, I think works really well.
I agree. Did you find yourself trying to figure out the mystery while they were running through the whole thing?
No, I was kind of just with it, you know?
Okay.
There were times where I kind of got myself swept up in it, and I had to like go back and be like, okay, I missed things here, you know? Because like it just kind of snowballs on itself the way that a mystery like this does, where like the enjoyment of it is to experience like the twists and the turns, you know, and the little weird digressions that happen. And like that's where like a lot of the value comes.
See, I found myself trying to figure it out because he was last seen alive, and in a time period of 5 hours, he ended up in Maine, a beach on a Maine island, in fact. So he had to get to Maine, get to, you know, a ferry or whatever, a bridge to get to this island, and winds up on the beach. And it seems like nobody saw him. And 5 hours, if the last place he had been seen was in Colorado, it's like, okay, sure, you can make the flight in less than 5 hours, because I'm from California and I went to school in Philadelphia. So let's just call that roughly the same distance, because the East Coast is jam-packed in there. I don't really know what the mileage is from Colorado to Maine, but I imagine it's somewhat close to what I was doing when I was going back and forth from Orange County to Philadelphia. But some of the flights would only be 4.5 hours. Some would be like 6 hours. So it definitely varies. But let's just say he somehow got there in a 4.5 hour flight. And back in the 80s, you didn't really have much airport security.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about it taking forever to get out of the airport, most likely. It's possible, but very, very strange.
Right. Yeah. And for me, that I think that mattered a lot less, because setting this up as something that is unexplained makes it so that like the answer is less important than like the journey of it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I think I just wanted to see if there was something that maybe he left for the readers to pick up on, but maybe Stephanie wasn't going to pick up on, right, and it would be a little less unexplained. But that was not the case, and I think that is perfectly fine. You know, I've talked numerous times about how King doesn't always end his books very well, but I think because he set the expectation that this mystery would not get solved by the end of the book by any means, you're okay with that when you hit that last section of the book.
Yeah. I'm really familiar, just for like the record, I'm really familiar with like trying to piece something out of nothing. Like I watched Lost for 6 years trying to make something out of everything, and sometimes there's just nothing, and I've gotten a lot more comfortable with that as I've gotten older.
I'm 2 seasons in on Lost. I started watching it finally.
I have so many things to say right now, but I'm just gonna leave it. So happy for you right now. Let me ask you a question. Did you have any kind of thing, like relationship with Colorado Kid before you started this?
I didn't even know what it was about. I assumed Colorado would come into play at some point. And so when it started and it was like this hotshot guy from the Boston Globe coming down and they were getting lunch and all of this stuff, I was like, oh, I think this is going to be a very different story than what I expected. And I was expecting something along the lines of, I don't know, maybe this was like a grittier version of an Agatha Christie mystery or something. And that's what kind of like the hard case crime books are. I have never read any of the other hard case crime books either. So I didn't know what to expect from the series in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't read them either. So I had as much expectation in that department as you did.
Right. Have you watched Haven, though?
I have. Let me tell you about Haven real quick.
Let me make a quick note about Haven, though, because it was on the spreadsheet. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, it's very loosely based on this book. And so I ended up taking it off for now. I may change my mind, but I probably won't. So there's just a disclaimer there for you and everyone listening.
Right. Haven. So Haven, like you said, is loosely based on the Colorado Kid. And it features David Vince, except they are brothers in the TV show, which I don't think they are in this story.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So it's a very dumb, but very enjoyable, low budget sci-fi show. It follows this FBI agent going to a sleepy town in Maine. People have started waking up with superpowers, and that's basically the show. There's kind of like the Colorado Kid as like a driving mystery within the show, but that's pretty much where they got from Colorado Kid to Haven.
Yeah, I saw in like one of the early episodes of Haven, they were like, here's the Colorado Kid murder scene or crime scene. Depends on if you think it's murder. But I was like, I don't think that's enough for me to want to go through, what is it, like 3 or 5 seasons or something?
It's like a 5-season show, yeah.
That's too many.
Yeah, like as a Stephen King property, it's not worth watching. But as like a sci-fi show, like a dumb sci-fi show, like it's very enjoyable.
Yeah, it seems like the Sci-Fi Channel has been sort of digging into things in different ways. Like you have Haven, which is loosely based off of the Colorado Kid. You have Krypton, which isn't really a direct adaptation as far as, you know, some of the major Superman stuff we've seen before. And obviously it does not actually have Superman in it. So they're definitely taking some interesting directions in the last however many years since that channel has existed. But, you know, even more recently, I think
that was from like an era where like they had like Tin Man or the Alice in Wonderland miniseries, you know?
Okay.
These like little riffs.
Yeah. And I was kind of like 5 seasons, you know, I already watched 6 seasons of The Dead Zone. It was so many. So I didn't want to do that to myself because I have Under the Dome coming up, which is a very long book and a 3-season TV series as well. And as you know, Drew, I am going to be going season by season for the more recent stuff because I think that will make more sense. And with something like Haven, I wouldn't want to go season by season. It's like maybe what I'll do is I'll do like a bonus episode if I get around to watching it and just talk briefly about how it even connects, or just watch that one episode where it connects it and that's it.
Yeah. I like Haven. I've been watching a little bit of it recently. Everything I see still stands. It's very dumb and very enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, I am glad for now that I have taken it off the spreadsheet, and I am pleasantly surprised with how much I enjoyed The Colorado Kid, because it was interesting to me that this was one of his books that's never been released in hardcover. So you have this and Cycle of the Werewolf, which were the only 2 Stephen King novels to be published in paperback once. So I feel like this one might be a little harder to find at times. I'm not 100% sure on that. Let's check Amazon or Bookshop here. It's definitely one that I think people don't talk about as much. Would you agree with that?
Ironically, not outside of like if anybody mentions like Haven, you know, and mostly those are like it's a very niche conversation.
Yeah. Well, it looks like they actually have a new edition available on Amazon and it is illustrated. I'm a little jealous. I don't have that one.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's one that has fewer printings, I would say, than a lot of his other books, because so many of his other books are like available every time there's an adaptation. So you probably have multiple Pet Sematary and It covers, for example, and you have those books in particular that come out in so many different languages. I can't imagine The Colorado Kid would have been one of those.
No, I can't say that. I can imagine that either.
Yeah, and with it being hard case crime, it's a different situation for King, too, because he is publishing under this very specific series, so he might not have as much control as to how the copies are released either.
Yeah, it seems like it's almost like when Stephen King would like publish in like a magazine.
Which he just did recently, if I'm not mistaken. He had a story in Esquire, I believe.
I didn't see that. What was the story?
Let me see if I can find it. Someone messaged me and told me about it. It was Mike Flaz, who has been on the podcast. It is in Esquire.
Well, that's cool. In either case, because that's not a thing that happens frequently anymore for anyone, I would say.
Yeah, it really seems like magazines don't necessarily have like the money to be doing those things.
Yeah. but it's a weird time all around. So who knows? Seems like a lot of things are strange right now. Why should this be different?
Oh, absolutely. And I cannot find the title of the story because Esquire's website probably does not have it on there, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Or it's paywalled.
Yeah. Websites are doing that a lot lately, but I will find out and I will put it in the show notes, at least the title of it, if I can find it. And I think The Colorado Kid was a nice breather because now I am going into Cell, and it's one of his books that not a lot of people like, but
yeah, that'll be fun.
The Colorado Kid makes me look forward to more of King's sort of crime focused novels. You know, you mentioned earlier the Mr. Mercedes trilogy, which I haven't had a chance to dive into. And because the TV show was on whatever AT&T channel that only AT&T and DirecTV people could get, I didn't watch it. I do have the first two seasons on DVD and Blu-ray now because they did a weird release thing. So I have one on DVD and one on Blu-ray, but I've heard very good things about that trilogy. And I think obviously I'll hit Joyland first, and that's going to be crime driven, but because of the way he wrote this one and stylized it with it coming from the perspective of these old timey news guys, it was a nice little treat. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's just this little nice thing that you can just exist in for like half a second and then you're gone.
Yeah, because really not a lot happens since it's a story being told within a story.
Yeah.
Which is good that it was under 200 pages, because I think if it would have gone on too much longer, Stephen King might not have been able to keep the reader's attention quite as long. He, you know, does just enough at the beginning so that you aren't diving right into the story. And he gives you sort of these little personality quirks with the main three characters along the way as well. And it worked out nicely. But Drew, short book, short episode, works for me. Thank you for joining me to talk about The Colorado Kid.
You're welcome. Pleasure as always.
I'm sure you will be back on either this podcast or my podcast, Welcome to Geekdom, at some point for something. I would have to consult spreadsheets to know what and when, but
I'm certain.
I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Me too.
All right. That does it for this episode of Chat Cemetery. You can support the podcast on Patreon for $1 a month. You'll get a thank you on the show. For $2 a month, I will send you a Chat Cemetery sticker. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Chat Cemetery on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You could also rate and review the show. That's a huge help. And as always, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.